I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
He's the best intergalactic pilot ever to fly the stars, Fox McCloud. His job, take on the evil Andross. He's an ace in the R-Wing, a monster in the Landmaster, a genius in the Gyro-Wing. He's Foxy, Fox McCloud. It's his god, you're just flying in it. Fox.
What's the Fox say? Oh my.
Foxy.
That was a little bit of a cheat. It came from a Wii U game, but whatever.
Nah, it's okay. It's still Star Fox.
It's fine. We know where he's come and where he's been and where he might go
next. He's 30.
Yeah, he's 30. He's old. Starting to feel aches and pains. Oh, hi, everybody. This is Play Retro. I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts. And, well, me and Slippy Toad went bar hopping last weekend.
Ah, hopping.
That dude can drink a lot and still keep partying. At one point in the night, he threw up all over the girl he met there at the bar. He right. just laughed and moved on. Yeah.
Do a barrel roll. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. I tried to do a barrel roll and instead flew right into Slippy Toad, who's obviously drunk and drinking. And now no one on the team will speak to me. But that's okay, because I'm a space fox doing space fox things. Oh, look, a disembodied space monkey head. Let's shoot it. Yeah. And don't forget, never give up. Trust your instincts. Use the fort. Do another barrel roll.
Yeah. That's what they tell you to do there. The wise,
it says,
the wisdom,
trust
the old.
Trust your instincts.
Yeah, trust your instincts. Don't use the force. Never trust your instincts. Exactly.
Yeah, not unless you want to get sued.
Yeah. That is obviously, it's so funny when you talk about Star Fox and you talk about the voices of Star Fox and you talk about do a barrel roll, which sounds like this.
Do a barrel roll.
You have to reference the N64 game first.
Yes.
Because there was no voice in the SNES game. It was a lot of that yep. kind of stuff. Don't forget.
Do a barrel roll.
And by the way, that is like raw audio on the mic, not compressed from the game. Listen to that one
That's
more time.
Nice. Do a barrel roll.
Listen to that. Oh.
That's sexy.
What was the name of the rabbit? Bunny Barry.
No, Peppy Pepper.
Pepper.
They called him Peppy, but I think is it Peppy Pepper?
Peppy Pepper the pig's. Peppy the Peppy. Why I keep wanting to say Peppy Hare, that's it. Jeez.
Yeah, it's Peppy Hare, but I think his real name is Pepper or something like that, but they call him Peppy Hare or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
And back in the day, I always thought it was Slippy Frog saying do a barrel roll. It never was. It was Peppy Hare. He was the guy.
Do a barrel roll.
Peppy Frog was more like, hey, guys, what's going on?
I'm a rabbit. I was your father's best friend. Now I'm on your crew.
We're going to talk about the impact of Star Fox and all things Star Fox in a moment. But first, we'd like to tell you an organizational tale. All right. So sit back and enjoy this little stupid story. I've been trying to organize stuff. All right. In general.
Oh, really?
Like,
okay.
I got a bunch of these trinkety things I don't really need. I should sell stuff on eBay. Okay, cool. Yes. The other things I'm keeping, where do I want to keep them? And part of me's like, you should display it all so it all looks cool. And then part of me's like, no one ever sees it but me. That's stupid. So what are you going to do? So I made this huge translucent bin that I found.
Oh, okay.
Costco or somewhere. I don't remember where. And it's now chock full of all my retro stuff. That is to say retro gaming stuff. So if I need a quick access to an old controller or to one of these Genesis machines or to a couple old cartridges I got laying around or whatever it is, it's all right there, labeled neatly. With a little
lever
door.
Did you label it retro?
With a Sharpie, which is a little retro now at this point.
Right.
And then I just open that up and I grab what I need and I shut it. And no longer is it scattered throughout my space. No longer do I have to wonder where I might have put it. It's all in this one place.
This is starting to sound a lot like Toy Story 3, right before you get rid of everything. Don't do it.
A little bit, which I know you hate. You're not a fan. But it was either this or I was going to go crazy and do some kind of shelf-like display thing. Honestly, it came down to no one comes down. No one's in my studio but me. Put on camera, I guess, but then I just got this little room behind me, this little space. I don't know how to do it. So instead, I put it in this thing. I can always make a change later. The important thing is my beloved retro things are not out collecting dust. They're not scattered or getting mushed by something else. They're in the place they're supposed to be.
Do you mean everything has a place and everything in its place?
Oh, yes, I do mean that.
Okay, Father.
Okay. Now, son, go out into the world and learn, find a way.
Anyway, baby.
That's what I've been up to. What did you do? I know you've been like Star Fox up the yanker because you did all kinds of things here.
I did do a bunch of Star Fox.
A
bunch of Star Fox. Man, I couldn't get it out for some reason. But anyway, yeah, I've been doing Star Fox 3D prints because you know why? Because there's a whole bunch of assets out there of Star Fox from the Wii U games, including some of the other games as well. But this little Star Fox I'm showing right now, which is a resin print, it is the AR wing. And if you look really close, you can see that Fox McCloud is right there in the seat. This is actually printed from an asset that was exported from the Wii U version of Star Fox. And I also have this one as well. This one was exported from a different game, but it's another AR wing. I really wanted to play with some of these things. That one of my favorite ships. It's just really simple, you know, just it's just got all these hard, cool lines. Yeah. And I've been printing those. I actually printed out a Fox McCloud statue guide, little standy thing, but I think one of my cats ate him. But I've been printing out a whole bunch of these things. And at the end of the show, we may announce what we might be doing with some of these things. I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing a little organizing. But man, it's really cool because my two worlds have met up with the retro stuff. I've been printing out a lot of storage places for all my retro stuff. But here I am finally in the 3D world. We're playing a 3D game this week.
Yeah.
Very early 3D. It's SNES 3D. Come on, man. That's old.
It's early. That's partly why their ships are so pokey, because there were very few polygons involved in that early business. So
that's what you had to do. That was that shape was easily rendered at 13 frames per second, whatever it is.
It was
a lot of fun doing that. I also got a little excited when I saw Wii U in 2016, there was still games coming out in 2016 for the Wii U. There was a game called Star Fox Zero. Now, this is not exactly retro, but I did order it. Did it arrive? Yes, it did. And I opened it and I left it in another room.
Oh, it got here today. Yeah, must have gotten here today then. Yeah,
it did. It just arrived today. And I came in, I ripped it open and I said, I'm going to show this on air. And then I left it in the kitchen.
Well done.
So what you going to do? But just trust me, I have the Star Fox Zero for the Wii U and I can't wait to kind of break it out. It was only like $30 and I think it came with an extra bonus game as well. I got to look at. I haven't had my Wii U out in a while. That's more like less retro and more like almost getting nostalgia time. And also, people hated that version. And I like to play games sometimes that people hated to see if it's truly justified. I've read this game. You have to use your TV and your Wii U controller to really play the game right, that you can't play with any other. You can't like just play with a regular controller because there's a whole bunch of information on the screen, which is, I think people bitched about it. That was my favorite part about the Wii U was when they would have more interface on my little handheld.
Yeah.
I usually played it. Some people were like, but I like to play it on the handheld alone. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I get it. But, you know, sometimes it's okay to have some games that are, you know, that do it this way.
People were annoyed with that device in general.
It
was not a success for Nintendo by any stretch.
It was not.
But I do think it's a little bit of a bummer that Star Fox got left behind a little bit, you know, Like,
yeah, that's yeah. Star Fox is a story of so many people love Star Fox. Oh, here's a story. My day job.
Give me your day job story. Yeah,
there is a lady there, and she's younger than me, a lot younger. But she is really big. When the Switch came out, she brought it to work and everything. I was like, oh, you got a Switch? Cool. And she's like, yeah, because I love playing all of these, playing all the old games, because I grew up and had an NES and, you know, in different Nintendo consoles, even though she had them later. They came out before she had them kind of late for her.
Sure.
And so I was like very excited this past week. I printed some Star Fox stuff out, including a little Star Fox model. And I brought it to work and I showed it to my cool nerd friends. And I said, hey, I saw her in the break room. I was like, hey, look at this. I said, oh, look at that. Look at that. She says, oh, yeah, what is that? I was like, Star Fox. Never heard of it. I was like,
what? What?
You played the, she had a NES, an SNES, and an N64 and a GameCube.
She'd never heard of it. Not even heard of Star Fox. Smash Brothers or any of that. He's in there.
Nope.
You fight Cloud in there.
I know. He's one of the favorite characters in the thing. So yeah, I was like,
you can be what? You can be Cloud McCloud, or sorry, Fox McCloud.
Fox McCloud.
Of the Clan McCloud, and you can play him directly. I don't know how you do. I don't know how you go through any of those generations and not know who Fox is. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I thought the same too. It's a much beloved franchise that just always seems to get the short end of the stick. Star Fox is a very simple game, but just, you know, just tropes, but just so much attitude and so much. It reminds me kind of like Sonic on the Nintendo side. Yeah. It's like, oh, look at this attitude and small team. And, you know, it's simple. You perform this one game kind of task, and that's their jam. And they got, you know, one-liners.
Sure.
I like Star Fox.
And he's a hoot, you know?
He's a hoot.
Yeah, and you got the slippy toad, and you got the stupid rabbit, and you got that hawk, or that, what's his name?
Falco.
Sorry, Falco. He's not a falcon. No, he's not a falcon.
but I always thought he was. I'm like, oh, Falco, the falcon.
Yeah, because that name, plus he looked like a bird that might be a falcon. We all assumed falcon. It's not a falcon. It's not a falcon.
No. Falcon, no.
It's like finding out that Slippy is a, I don't know, a hippo or something.
A turtle.
Yeah, a turtle. It's so stupid. Anyway, in typical Nintendo fashion, weird characters and weird story all around them. We're going to talk about them now. So sit back and enjoy this.
Destroy it.
That's the wrong one.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. Let's talk about Star Fox. You are the leader of a squad of anthropomorphic animal pilots. All right? Mm. You fly throughout the Lylat star system. That name's going to be important coming up. Don't forget Lylat or Lylat. Just hold on to it.
It's a terrible name. Lylat.
Mm-hmm. I say Lylat too, but I can't stand it. It's a terrible word. Anyway, in the prototype Air Wing spacecraft to prevent the galactic conquest of a mad scientist in this 3D shooter for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And at the time, you were provided with cutting edge. Nintendo would claim light years ahead technology. Yes. 3D technology provided by the brand new Super FX chip that was built right into the cartridge, thus making the cartridge itself way too expensive.
Yes.
But it was there. And you got 12 frames per second, roughly. It is a very charming but ugly throwback to the early days of 3D in video games.
I had kind of forgotten when we started this. I had forgotten that Star Fox was a Super FX chip. I kept, for some reason, thinking it was all sprite-based. And immediately I was like, oh, my God, how did I cross the streams? How did I forget that this was, you know, because SNES, you don't think, I rarely think about the Super FX chip. It was there. Yoshi's Island. There was a couple of games.
Like three games. Yeah, and Yoshi's Island, it benefited from performance.
Yeah.
But it didn't do anything with, like, overt 3D stuff. And so it was weird. This was the only game that said, you know, let's put like five polygons on the screen, see what we come up with.
And it wouldn't be long before the N64 would come out after this, you know. So, I mean, we were getting close to the end for the SNES and what it could do. So
this was the tail end of that stuff. And they were trying to do stuff that, I don't know, distracted people from this the 32X from Sega, which promised a lot of the same stuff. Their plan here, I think, made a little more sense. It's like, hey, we'll put a little extra horsepower in the cartridge. instead of making people go out and buy a whole new peripheral for our damn console.
I always like Nintendo's approach to that, to add stuff to the cart so that only the people who are wanting that cutting edge game. I actually like that's a better model because you can put that cost towards the people who are interested in that technology and kind of, you know, distribute the cost a little bit for the, you know, the early adopters versus, you know, just if you want to play this game, you're going to have to get this whole new system and stuff. Yep. You know, yeah.
It had a very intense intro. Listen to this. Listen, see? That means business, right? Business.
Yeah. Miyamoto-san is really, he wanted something fun and cool, and he got it there.
He definitely did. But went ahead and put fuzzy dumb animals in it, and that made it less cool. But
I love the fun. I have you seen the cover art?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna complain, by the way. That is not a downside of the game. In fact, right. What I would really like, I was gonna save this for later, I'll just say it now. What I really want out of Nintendo is a Switch or Beyond Generation title in the Star Fox universe.
Yeah.
Where we get a big open universe. Give me something like Freelancer, you know, whatever Star Citizen's trying to be that game. So huge, just like expansive. You got to fly everywhere in the universe, do all kinds of missions, sell stuff when you go to space stations, all that. But it's all these little dudes, you get Slippy Toad and everybody running around. I'd love that. I'd be all in. I love
this idea.
Yeah.
If you've seen the cover art, the SNES version of Star Fox, you've seen it and you're like, what kind of weird 3D rendering of a fox is this? And it's not. It's a picture of a puppet. Miyamoto had bigger dreams for Star Fox than just this game. He wanted to see it turn into like a puppet show. He wanted because he was a big fan of
Thunderbirds.
That's it. The Thunderbirds. Yep. He was big fans of stuff like Thunderbirds and that kind of stuff. So on the cover of this box is this weird looking Thunderbirds puppets kind of Star Fox character, and I think in the manual they've got the other characters as well, but man, the more I dug into Star Fox, the more I was like, I'm like you, I want to see this universe expand a little bit, because I'm kind of interested in seeing what's going on. What's and I also learned a bunch of stuff about Japanese culture and you know, fables and that stuff, because this, a lot of the stuff comes from Japanese fables. And also one of the phrases, fights like dogs and monkeys, which is not an American. We say fights like dogs and cats.
It's weird.
But that's the reason why on the planet there's dog leaders, and in the sky there's dead monkey leaders.
Oh my lord! I don't even know
why they're fighting.
Think about that. Okay, so I noticed on the cover, you know, he's very strange looking, this puppet thing. But what's up with his feet? Did he have robot feet? Was that ever explained?
I heard from some people while I was streaming this, they asked the same question, because they all had these weird robot feet. And I'm like, was there some kind of amputation? Are they gravity boots? Are they thinking that the bottom feet are just paws like regular animals? Or are they like, you got human hands, but they just have like animal paw feet? Yeah. And they have to have, I don't know. I never got a straight answer on that.
It's very strange. Very, very weird idea to do that. But I guess I would say this. They took what is, I think, kind of a average on rails first person experience or third person experience that plays a lot like Space Harrier or any number of other
games. This reminded me most of how I felt when I was playing the Star Wars arcade game, when everything was on rails and you're flying in between buildings and you're having to hit things at certain points, you know, and you use the Force, Luke, and all that kind of stuff. It feels like that to me.
And I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with that as a core gameplay. But what really makes it is the weird story, funky characters, and typical Nintendo like strange bits. This could have been like dumb sci-fi characters, just some grunty looking guy going, all right, let's get the aliens, let's go. Instead they were like, nope, fox, rabbit, they're all fighting this dog. Hey, what's the toad up to? Like, that's a weird choice that I think absolutely makes the game. It makes or breaks the game.
Right. I love the fact the deeper I dug into it, because some of it I thought, oh, just limitations of storytelling in a game format. But then I found out it's like, no, Andross is really a disembodied head because he's dead, but he's reformed himself. And that's why he's in space and he's mad at Star Fox, the name of the team. He's mad at Fox McCloud because his father something betrayals, yada yada. The story gets very soap opera, which is great because that's what you want in your space opera kind of.
Yeah, but it wouldn't work if they weren't these dumb animals. I'm telling you, that would be boring and dumb. And also wrote like it'd be like a million other anime stories that are all kind of throwaway and samey, except it's a fox and a dog and a frog and a not falcon and all these things. It, to me, that's the magic. That's the sauce.
Yeah. And I think the AR wing is the sauce because I printed more of these stupid ships than anything, just because I had something about like an X wing or an A wing type of ship that just makes me want to do that. Just be, I'm a kid again.
Yeah. I like it too. I like how Slippy also says ribbit a lot at the end of his sentences.
Yeah. That's great because, I learned more about Slippy too. I learned all kinds of stuff this past week. This is a really enjoyable deep dive for me, learning more about Star Fox, especially the lore behind the game. Mm-hmm. I knew a lot about the game. I played a lot of Star Fox.
Yeah.
But learning that, a lot of the characters were based on, you know, like fables, Japanese fables, but then Slippy Toad was based on a coworker who had a frog and would write ribbit on stuff. And so they wrote all of that. I couldn't tell if they were annoyed by this guy, but he definitely was making an impression with the other people. And Slippy is one of the most hated characters, especially when he starts speaking. By the time you get to the 64-bit, people start hating Slippy. But I love Slippy.
Slippy's my favorite, dude. Freaking people want to smack talk Slippy, you have to come through me.
That's right.
Slippy's awesome. I played a bunch of this the other day. I had the way mine was, my ROM let me speed up the frame rate.
Oh, so wait, was you playing the 64-bit version?
No, I was playing the SNES game.
Okay, because the 64-bit version messes with your head, because when they show the animals speaking, they're doing this really fast.
Yeah, it wasn't that, though. It was the SNES game, and I could go into, there was something I could do inside of RetroArch that let me smooth out the frame rate. And I'll tell you what, this game's pretty good at whatever it is, 60, maybe it's only 30. I don't know. It was so much better than the 12 or whatever the FX chip was capable of.
Oh, yeah. I played it on my SNES Classic Mini.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
It's really a good one of these, like a good on-rail shooter. I'm just, you know, I'm convinced, though, that the special sauce is this goofball story. That's really what
it makes it was really like playing an arcade game. This felt like such an arcade game because everything is big and to the point and straightforward, because when you're flying through the buildings and they're falling, you kind of know where to go. There's big places for you to shoot at. You know, they're flashing, you know, red so that you know you're supposed to shoot there. It just seemed like they put fun at the top of the list and everything else just kind of fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had fun.
Didn't they, aren't they all, I don't know, I guess just Falco and Fox are in the, are in Super Smash Brothers, I think.
I think you are correct.
And I'm not even sure, did Fox even make it to Mario Kart? I wonder. Hold on. Fox.
I don't think I've ever seen Mario Kart, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist there.
Kart. Let me just see. I can't.
I don't remember him there.
My brain won't let me.
There was that one kart where everybody's using the hovercraft. Which one was that? 7?
Oh, he's totally in it. Sorry.
He's totally in it?
Yeah, he's in 8 at least. I don't know about 8. The previous ones. Yeah,
okay, that was 8. I mean, that's one that was like that. Okay.
Yeah, he may have been in an earlier one too. But
yeah.
I know he's in Smash. And my point is, you know, like any venerable Nintendo IP or character, he has earned his place there. I think it's
fine. Oh, yeah. People definitely love the Star Fox, and it's a shame because people on the development side and people receiving it are all just like, we want more Star Fox, and it's like they can never quite figure out what the vehicle is for it. You know, it's just like they want it's just, he always seems to have the Star Fox has the worst timing. There.
Yeah. Yep.
That's how I want to say it. Star Fox has the worst timing.
I agree with that. It's a little bit like similar timing, the Horizon Zero Dawn and Horizon Forbidden West games.
Right.
Both had this horrible timing. It came out the same month or week, I think maybe, or even a week apart from the first game came out a week apart from the original Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Right.
And it was just like, that's, how are you going to compete with that? All right. Number one.
Yeah.
Then the second one comes out the same week as Elden Ring, another game that just completely took everybody's attention and everybody forgot everything else that was going on around it. Those games are amazing. Right. She deserves her place in the Sony pantheon of amazing 3D action games. But she just keeps having this shit timing
right
when she comes out or whatever. And, you know, we'll get more into what happened to Star Fox after this iteration and the N64 iteration. I think it's all a little bit weird the way things went. But they are touching on where I think this series needs to go next.
Right.
Which will
It's real
we'll
get hard to. Not to... It's real hard to all because it's also just all this is kind of Star Wars, right? I mean, it's just Star Wars with animals,
kind of.
I mean, no one's using the Force, but yeah, I mean, it's like all the dog battles in Star Wars is this, and I really dig that, and I think it's cool.
I have nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I'm watching it right. I'm watching what you're doing now, the in space scene stuff, and it's going to wireframe because you're losing. You got too much damage, I'm assuming. Maybe not. I don't know why he keeps going flashing.
I thought it was a stealth thing, no?
It might be a stealth thing. There's like bombs you can use. Yeah. You have shield. The shield is how you – when your shield depletes, you will eventually go down, and your wingman will pop up from time to time and kind of give you a status report on what's going on. See, this part right here reminds me of doing that Star Wars.
Yeah, this is just a trench run, right?
Yes, this is a trench run is all it is.
You're going in to shoot the final thing in the little Death Star hole, and now you're going to win, and Luke's the winner.
Yeah, you got to turn off the targeting computer and just get in here and blow it up and get out.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I think Star Fox stands on its own, there is a lot of Star Wars crap going on.
That's fine. You can do that.
Look, even this bit where you've got to go inside and shoot the little, look at that little thing right there. Yeah, see, this is, that may as well be the half-built new Death Star in that third movie.
Yeah.
But anyway.
There's no vulnerabilities in this thing. Uh-oh, we're blowing up.
Now, then something happened that nobody knew happened. It sounded like this. Ooh, ominous.
Yes.
Really cool intro, by the way, on Star Fox 2, where you fight a big space dragon. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's way cool. You fight him a couple of times in that later on.
Yeah, space dragons rock. Nobody's going to deny you that. Space dragons are cool. And Star Fox 2 was supposed to happen. Oh, we didn't mention this real quick. In Europe, this game was called Starwing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've heard two theories on why that is. Have you heard the theories?
No. Give me the theories because I think that is freaking weird. What is the point of calling it Starwing?
One reason was it sounded too similar to a company called Starbox, and they were worried about that. That's the most popular one I've heard. The other one is there is a Star Fox game on the Atari 2600. I think it's one word instead of the two words.
Oh.
But I don't know why that would be a problem. Just some, I don't know, but yeah, there that was the two things we heard, that it was just Star Fox sounded too much like Star Fox, and they didn't want to get into that, so they just called it Starwing.
Here it is, the Star Fox for
in the Atari 2600.
The 2600. Yeah. Look at this, chat. This was a legit thing. What are you doing, flying around? Oh, this is almost like Defender.
Yeah, it kind of has a Defender thing on it, but it looks like a little spaceship. Just like, is there a fox in there? I don't know. I can't say. Can't quite see him.
Weird.
Yeah, look at that. Way back in the background, does that look like the little on rails part you to fly through? Right. It's
just, kind of. Yeah. Like, is there a possible scenario where Miyamoto or somebody was like playing their 2600 and went,
maybe they forgot. You know, kind of with a thing where it's like, oh, that's a good idea, and then you realize, I used to play that. I forgot. I doubt it.
But, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to, besmirch their good name, but it does seem a little funny. yeah, it was originally called that in Europe, and you guys are weird over there, so good job. StarCraft 2 did not happen.
Star Fox 2.
Sorry, I said StarCraft. I keep saying craft. It's impossible for me not to do it. Star Fox 2 didn't happen when it was supposed to happen. It ended up happening, but it happened way later, as in 2017 when the Super Nintendo Mini was released.
Yeah.
And that was the first anybody's really seen of it, but it was long rumored to exist. Right. And it finally happened.
First time I seen it was in the SNES Classic, but apparently during the late 90s, there was a scene, there was a emulation SNES scene that was going on, and some people had gotten a hold of official the final release, because this thing was completely finished.
Yeah,
and Miyamoto was the one who nixed it because they didn't want to compete with the N64. They didn't want to look foolish releasing a substandard 3D game when they were about to release the N64.
Yeah.
And so they just didn't do it. And I'm like, you fools.
Yeah. Okay. They are fools, because did you know you could turn your ship into a mech? Did you know that?
That is my... I completely forgot about it until I was playing this. I played it when I first got my Mini, and I'd completely forgot. But man, you ought to heard the stupid laugh that came out of my mouth where it was, yeah,
it's so stupid. It looks so dumb. It's like a broken duck or something. But
it is like a broken duck. So you got your, it still looks like the AR wing plane, but the wings pop down and pop up, and you walk on two of the legs, and it's totally not plausible, but it's kind of cool.
This game, the two has like panache, man. There is like some serious like whoa factor going on for me.
Yeah, strategy stuff.
Yeah,
you get to play that's how you start out. Instead of like doing this on rails thing, you're doing this strategy thing where the monkey man is attacking the planet, and you've got to stop him. And you've got everything on right there on the screen, and you can choose what planet and what ships you want to go to first and fight. And if there's missiles coming towards the planet, you basically got to keep the planet from being destroyed. And if it reaches 100% destruction, it's over. And you just have to fight your way through it.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun, a lot of space battles.
Yeah, and you get to kind of choose your own path, which is the point. And then when you hit like a little patch, you're like, oh, this doesn't seem too hard, and you'll rip through these guys real quick. But then you get to the next area. Like, is this they were heading toward a concept of open world universe game. That's what they were aiming. That's what this was, a step closer to that. And that's what I am saying. The future of Star Fox is that, and only that. They can't, if they don't do that, they've effed up. I don't even know if they'll ever do one. I don't think the Switch ever gets a Star Fox game, personally.
Right. They had the, how far did, the was the Starlink, was that the last place? The spiritual successor of this is kind of like when you get into Starlink, and there actually is some crossover with Star Fox and Starlink.
You mean the Ubisoft game? Is that the game?
Was it an Ubisoft game?
I think so.
I'm trying to remember.
Let me see. Ubisoft, Starlink.
Starlink had all that hardware stuff you could buy that was kind of like Amiibos, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it didn't. It was the hardware game crossover thing that everybody thought was going to be a huge thing, and then it kind of pooped out. But it plays fine by itself.
The
version that they sell now is called Starlink Battle for Atlas. Let's see. That's some addition. Anyway.
Yeah, it is Ubisoft, but you're right.
It is Ubisoft. I have that game. It's actually quite good, and it's very reminiscent of what Star Fox was, except a little bit more open, less on rails, that sort of stuff. Yeah. And even, like you said, on the Switch version of that game, Star Fox was an included character. You could have his ship and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a little bit weird. But, Nintendo and Ubisoft doing some crossover with their other games, with their, what's the strategy game called? Mario and Rabbids, that one.
Oh yeah, the Rabbids thing.
Yeah, so they're not used to the idea of working with them, but I think, of all the games that have come since, if you're looking for something that's truly spiritually successor level stuff, that's a good one. I would also argue, even though the game types are very different, I would argue that the Everspace 1 and 2 games,
oh yes,
very controlly. Like those games, like you control them a lot like Star Fox. I don't know. I feel like those games kind of are pretty rad.
Right.
And worth playing. I'm going to mention those again before the end of this thing. But anyway, now you can have it. Star Fox 2 available on your SNES Classic. I also see plenty of people have ripped it down to a ROM form and have it available that way.
Yeah, well, like I said, the ROM was found because a lot of people were annoyed. I mean, if you completely develop a game, they had showed it at the CES. They had basically said this game is coming out, and then it didn't. And so there was a complete game, and people were able to cajole somebody. I don't know. I feel like somebody close to the project or fairly close to the project. Leaked one of those. It was like a bunch of early stuff that you could play, but yeah. And then I had two new characters too, Mayu and Faye, which I don't think ever returned anywhere else. But this was two female type pilots as wingmen, and you could pick a player, then you had to pick a wingman, I believe, when you played this game.
Yeah.
which is pretty cool. But Miyamoto was back doing his thing. Dylan Cuthbert, who was from Argonauts. Was also the lead programmer on that, and I enjoyed it. It was is it my favorite? Maybe my second favorite.
It's pretty hard good.
To compete with Starfighter 64.
Yeah, 64 is where the high point of the series is for me. But
yeah, when you start getting the voice acting and stuff, that's when it shines.
So this, they're the two lady characters. Everybody on screen can't see these at home, but they added these
one's
two
what is a lynx, and one looks like some kind of cocker spaniel poodle type animal.
Dog lady for sure.
Dog lady.
I feel like,
and all I know, Falco was over there with his attitude, and Peppy, he's always mad, and Slippy is just like, ah.
Peppy's just weird.
He's got his pants hiked up. Look at him; they're all got they're hiking their pants up.
Yeah,
him and but I think Star Fox and Slippy, they were like college roommates, right?
Their deal?
They went to the academy together. They were all mercenaries.
Yeah.
I was digging deeper into the story. They're all like were mercenaries until it was time. To join up with the resistance, I suppose, or
sure.
Speaking
of 64, let's dive into some voice work here and hear how things are about to change.
Yes. It's about time you showed up, Fox. You're the only hope for our world.
I'll do my best. Andross won't have his way with me.
Good luck.
That's iconic. That good luck thing, I still say. Whenever I say good luck, you may hear me say good luck, but in my head I'm going, good luck.
Good luck. Has this guy's vibe to it.
Aliens.
There's something about it. Good luck. Aliens. Yeah.
Actually put some pretty good one-liners. This is where we get the barrel roll from. And so, yeah, this is what most people. This is peak Star Fox.
Yeah,
or
this
Lylat
is
for, Wars for you in Europe.
Yeah, Lylat. Okay, back to Lylat. Can we talk about that? They didn't even call it Starwing. Yes. They called it Star instead of Starwing 64 to match with the European version of the SNES game. They called it Lylat Wars. Yeah. That's freaking terrible. It's a terrible name. I feel bad. I feel bad for the Europeans.
I do feel bad, too. But, you know, it's still good. Get the voice acting. I guess you can
forgive it. No, the game's fine. Don't get me wrong. Like, I thought my favorite thing about this was the couch competitive air battle stuff, the dogfighting mode. And I played that a ton with my friends. And I think I have tiny kids at this point.
This game was part of something that changed game controllers forever. And this was the first game that had the Rumble Pack, and this was originally sold with the Rumble Pack. And up until this point, your controllers didn't rumble.
It's not even that; just that. It's also this analog stick changed the way you controlled the game forever. Like you had a smooth sort of thing going on that you just weren't used to. And also, the frame rate in that game was very good, partly because there wasn't a lot going on. There was, you know, like space games, even when they were on ground, there were very few objects to sort of clutter things up and slow stuff down. But it was buttery smooth, and the dogfighting was a blast, and I loved
it. You got to kind of give to Miyamoto. He wasn't wrong in the fact that it's almost an embarrassment to see Star Fox if this was the other game that you had in the barrel, right? I mean, if it's like, oh, do we even bother?
Yeah. No, I get it. But, I totally get it. Yeah. And in fact, you know what? Years later, it's fun to know that the mini came with this game that was never released. There, so yeah. In a way, it's like it all comes around. It's fine. The work came
it's
out.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's all good. If you were a kid and all you wanted was Star Fox 2 and all you heard about at E3 that year, whatever they were doing, I guess CES,
yeah,
you would have been disappointed. I understand that. But this was a huge leap, a gigantic leap over that game. Like it's not even comparable. I feel like the entirety of Star Fox on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System would fit, the entirety of one ship from the N64 game would fit on that cartridge. Like,
right.
We just got huge. Things got big.
It got much better. It just really did. But yeah, but looking back, I'm like, oh, you fool. We would have loved to have had that Star Fox 2. But yeah, as a release, I mean, it'd be hard to sell people. It's like, here's our flagship platform with the game, or for about the same price, you could own for Star Fox 2 on your Super NES.
Yeah, or Lylat Wars. Yeah, didn't even get a sequel number.
They didn't have to worry about the name. For Star Fox 2, because it never went anywhere, so they didn't have to worry about any copyright stuff for that one. But this incorporated a lot of the gaming things that they had into anyway. They just kind of moved it forward,
right?
And they put it. You know, you still get that overhead strategy kind of view where you gotta pick your path, and it's got branching paths. So this was built in house, though. This was Nintendo's in house game, yeah. As opposed to Argonaut doing something. So
yeah, you know what it reminds me of? This is a weird comparison, I know, but Diablo 3 just launched their 28th season, and in that they have this new mode, or this new addition to the game, that's basically like a slightly less complex version of the skill system coming out in 4, which is a whole new game, right. And they put a little bit of it in 3 now, and in a weird way, Star Fox 2 feels like that. It's like, oh, here's a little piece of what we were going to do.
Yeah.
But oh boy, is it much better in this other thing, you know?
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yeah. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
My biggest complaint about the series in general, though, even this one, even the 64 game, which I hold in high regard, I'm just not an on-rails.
Yeah, they went back to like corridor mode for part of this game, and I'm with you. It's
not my favorite.
You have all this new game type with the 3D, but then you go back. This is a reboot. Mm-hmm. So part 2 was a sequel, but this is a reboot. So you're going back to the original, and I'm with you. It's just, I really kind of hate that it was on rails for part of this.
I just don't like on rail shooters in general. And, you know, they were competing with things like Panzer Dragoon and other games of that ilk. And that was okay then, I guess. But I was spoiled by PC space shooters. They felt open and big, and I had control about where I wanted to go, and I had more axes to move on, not just X and Y, but also Z, you know?
I would like to also use my Z.
If I could use Z axis, please. And so there was just a feeling of restriction here, and that's why I think the multiplayer struck me as so much fun, because there's nothing on rails about it. It's a big arena.
Right.
You fight within that arena, but you know, there's a feeling of freedom.
This is the one where you can do like the flips and stuff. Is that, this is the right one, right? Where you can
Can totally do air
like
tricks.
The U-turn, I believe, or something. It's not on rails in the arena areas, but you can fly a certain path, and then you hit the edge and you have to turn it back around and come back. Right. Is that the one I'm thinking
of? I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah, and this level right here reminds me of the tech they use for Wave Race. Like, look at that way that lava moves.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I can see that.
It's pretty cool. I mean, of the N64 era stuff, I think this graphically is one of the games that actually still holds up. You know?
Yeah. It's good, you know, it's good because you got all these pickups. It's still fine. You gotta be constantly focused. It's almost a shoot 'em up from first person is what you're really looking at, trying to make sure you get your pickups and shoot everything on screen and then avoid the giant lava wave.
Yeah. And the big robot that's in there somehow. Or is that a bug? I don't know what he is. What is he?
He's a robot bug.
Yeah, he's a bug. Bug made of robots. Oh, no. Oh, look. Now his arms are bleeding. Oh, this is a rough day for him. He's having a bad one.
It's bad. He's got to go back into the lava.
Yeah. That's where he belongs, Brian. He belongs there. That's where he should go. Now, that is kind of the retro era for this stuff, but I wanted to make sure we mentioned Star Fox Adventures, and we are going to talk about it. This was a 2002.
That's the old school retro stuff. I was trying to struggle with this too, and I know we've struggled with it, both of us, and I was like, you know what? This is old school retro.
Yeah.
But there's still retro stuff. Maybe call it modern retro. I don't know what
you call it. Yeah, no, I like modern retro. It's actually a cool way of putting that. So the way Brian wrote this out was old school retro, modern retro, and then you could probably say, where are they now? I don't know. Because I do want to talk
retro.
I want to talk about the future of it. But the GameCube had a game called Star Fox Adventures, or if you were in Europe, Dinor Planet.
Actually, I don't think they actually called that in Europe. I was trying to it's Dinosaur Planet. I typoed that.
That's typo?
Dinosaur Planet was actually the game. It was based on.
Gotcha.
It was actually originally it was a Rare game called Dinosaur Planet, and Miyamoto saw that the primary character kind of seemed like a Star Fox type. And so he's like, let's just move it over here to Star Fox because we need a new one.
Yeah, they basically were hard up for a new Star Fox game, and they wanted to do something a little bit different. And I really like the concept. Execution, it's not that great. It's got problems. They basically wanted to make a big adventure game where you're Fox McCloud on foot a huge amount of the time.
Yeah.
Like you're out running around like a fox. You're not like in a ship.
How are you supposed to do a barrel roll if you don't have an AR wing?
Exactly. It's a very weird, game, but from a graphical standpoint, I think it's one of Rare's better looking games.
So good.
It's gameplay just bugs people because you weren't doing a lot of ship to ship combat. And that bothered people. This is more of on the ground. This is like a Zelda game almost in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And again, I actually think the future of this franchise is something more like this, but with a heavy dose of space shit as well. But going down to the planets that you're visiting, dealing with the animals that live down there.
Other animals.
It's basically a dinosaur planet he's on right now. I think is a really cool concept, and I think there's something here. And I think given today's technical know-how and the way we design games today and our hardware capabilities, even on the Switch, this is a no-brainer. I don't know why this isn't a game already. It bugs me a little bit that we haven't ever heard anything about it.
I wish it was more of this too. But once again, if every Star Fox game that was in development or was being planned made it, I don't think anybody complained because most of it was classic Star Fox. And I think everybody was just so mad. It's like, I want a Star Fox proper. If you at least give me that, then I'm willing to eat whatever else you want to give me Star Fox. If you want to give me an adventure, that's fine. But give me a freaking Star Fox in space.
Yep. And forgive me. I said N64 earlier. I meant GameCube. I knew that.
It is GameCube.
My brain keeps saying N64.
I could have typed it wrong too.
Yeah. So I only played a little bit of this in the day. I didn't try it for this week. I played all the other stuff we've talked about, but this.
Yeah. I'm saving this one for later. Cause I also did not play this one. I watched a little bit of footage. I don't remember this game at all. Just from reading and that kind of stuff, but it looks good though. So kind of like a Ocarina of Time kind of game and parts of it. And then there's also an AR wing mode. At some point I didn't get to see any of that, but I want to play it. I want to try it out.
Maybe they relied a little too much on this ground business and not enough in the ship. And they could have done both more, I think. I don't know. It's a weird thing. It was received in a weird way. There's nothing wrong with, most of the time these guys make nothing but amazing games over at Rare. Yeah. And by all accounts, it's a good game. It's just...
I think probably if this was coming out today, if I was first time seeing this, I'd probably go... Why put Star Fox in this game? It could just be this.
It could have been anything.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Although it is cool seeing his ship there.
It is cool seeing it, though. Yeah. I love that.
It looks like Turok Town.
I don't understand why he's got his pet Triceratops, or whatever that thing is, that's riding up his bum, but
maybe
it's got
to
be
annoying. It's always going, to tell him where to go. Like Zelda style, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it probably is, actually.
Could be. Here's what that
got
game
weather effects,
like.
All that good stuff.
Listen to this lady.
Belina, are you there?
Oh, man, that was Star
Fox. Was that from the game?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, wow.
There's some lady speaking some foreign planet language. There's a lot of subtitles in this game, actually.
I love it.
And she's serious. Listen to that. I feel like I'd do it. Whoever that is, whatever they need, I'll take care of it. Whatever you need.
Yeah. I did something pretty good here. Like I said, I think I would have poo-pooed it because I'm such an old school Star Fox fan, but I think I probably deserve that game probably deserves more than I gave it.
Yeah. You and I are in the same boat. I did poo-poo it at the time.
Poo-poo.
But I think that may have been premature. But maybe
a
not
a premature poo-poo.
Maybe not a premature poo-poo for this, though.
Team Star Fox. Ready for duty.
Leave these losers to the pros. We'll beat them in no time.
All right, good news, everybody. Namco made a Star Fox game.
Good news. This is really getting later. This is in GameCube still, right?
Yep. This was Star Fox Assault, which it is an assault on the ears. It's very poorly audioed. I went and watched a whole big playthrough of it. It's very bad.
It's loud. Yeah, it's loud.
It's just action shooty. It's a different approach. It's basically, here's the summary for it. It's a 3D scrolling shooter and third-person shooter video game developed by Namco, published by Nintendo and the GameCube. It is the fourth release of the Star Fox series. The game was released in North America in 2005. The game is set after the events of Star Fox Adventures and follows McCloud and his team attempting to save the Lilat system from the enemy insectoid beings called the Aparoids.
The Aparoids? How dare you?
Well, if you get a case of the Aparoids, talk to your doctor because they gave you a cream for that. It contains orchestral arrangements of music from Star Fox 64 as well as original works created specifically for the game. Let's see what the reception at the time was. This was met with mixed to positive reception, an average score of 71% on game rankings and 67 out of 100 on Metacritic. Complaints were aimed at the control scheme during the on-foot portions. IGN worded the complaint as ground missions suffering from sloppy control, but some of them praised the dogfighting bits.
Yeah, that's how it is because everybody knows.
Yeah,
that's what Star Fox is. Star Fox is dogfights.
Yeah.
Star Fox is not ground. Actually, the original Star Fox, they had played with some game ideas of tanks, and so all that stuff's kind of hung around in their little book of ideas. But even early on, there was like, yeah, this is not fun. What's fun is the dogfights. And I think if you don't center that in your Star Fox, I don't know how you're going to succeed.
I don't either. I don't know why you'd even attempt it. There's so much you can do to add on to the formula. You don't have to completely just tear it away the way that Adventures did. This is obviously a little bit more out in space, but it still had the on-ground crap. And I don't know, Namco's a weird pick. They're fine. It's not like mine Namco, but it just feels differently. It feels different than the other game. Like I'm looking at it right here. Yes. This does not feel like the same game at all as the previous
game. No. Look how the characters, you never really fully turns around. Like Rare's character, you could fully turn around. This one just seems more slidey
more first person shootery, is a little more doomish, quakish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fine. It just, to me, it's disconcerting to go from one to the other, and then that's not a typical Nintendo thing. I don't feel like the quality control is the same,
right?
Or at least control over aesthetic. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but it just feels.
No, you're not. You're actually spot on. So the GameCube was a weird time for Nintendo. Nintendo was having an identity crisis. They knew that where the action was in older gamers. That's where the money was headed. And so trying to fit that in their, who they were before.
Yeah.
This was a tough time. The GameCube was a tough time for Nintendo trying to understand who it is.
And I love the GameCube. And I know you do. A lot of people do. But it was a problem. Like Sony, PS2 is just destroying the console wars. Like this was still Nintendo trying to compete on that level and saying, well, well, we're going to be number one again. No. No, you're not.
we're gonna grow. Everybody else be the same. No, Nintendo. No. You just need to be Nintendo.
You just need to be Nintendo. Back. Yeah, and as soon as they embraced that and figured out how to do that, I'd argue the Wii was the first time they really embraced it.
Exactly.
And the Wii U is a different animal, but they since then have been like this very comfortable, happy to be there kind of company, and they don't need to be anything else. They don't have to try to compete on those levels anymore.
I actually like the Wii U. It was just such an awkward phase again. It was like, we're about to have the Switch. It was just kind of late.
Yeah.
It was time for a change.
Yeah. Then the Switch is the combining of all their best worlds, their prowess with portable stuff. And we didn't even talk about places he may have shown up in portable games, like handhelds. Yeah. Star Fox.
And Star Fox goes beyond just what we talked about in the retro realm today. He still exists in a couple other of things.
Let's see. I've got one here. Here's the one I was thinking of. Where is it? Not Assault. Is it Star Fox? No, Wii U.
Zero is the one I have. That's the one you're getting. Wii U. Yeah, the Zero. That's the one I got.
Oh, I know what I was thinking of. The unreleased Virtual Boy game they made. They showed.
Yes.
The,
oh my God. Yeah. So much potential in these canceled Star Fox games.
Yep. They had StarCraft or Star Fox Arcade, which got canceled.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wonder if it wasn't why they were working with Namco at the time. I wonder if that's what they were.
Maybe
Nintendo wasn't doing as much at the arcade at that time.
Because they did say it was originally planned as a companion game with Star Fox Assault, but was abandoned near release. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How about this one? Oh, there's a game and watch game called Star Fox. Came out in 93.
Yeah, yeah.
It was released in Europe as Star Wing, of course. Star Fox Guard.
That's actually in the bundle I have, I believe. I think that's what I got. The Star Fox Zero and the Star Fox Guard, I believe is what I got.
Yeah, that's the Wii U add-on thing. So, I don't know. I feel like
it was a Star Fox Armada by Retro Studios. It was going to be developed by Retro Studios. It kind of fell apart. It was supposed to feature the puppet visuals and the online multiplayer by the Nintendo Network.
Wait, Retro made they made the Metroid Prime games, right? Didn't they do Prime?
That's right.
Oh, I like them. I would have liked to have seen what that looked like.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
I think it was prime time to do it.
Oh, prime time. I see what you've done there. Well, I can say this. He deserves the notoriety he has, Fox McCloud and his friends. And I think he deserves better in that there should be a new game. And I wish there was.
Did you see the Star Fox Event Horizon thing I sent you that was the Free Space 2 mod?
Oh, no. Did I miss
that? I put a video in it under the Wortha mention.
I missed it. Oh, in our notes. I thought you meant Discord. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Wortha mention.
So it was a mod. I don't know how it's still existing, but it was a Free Space 2 mod. If you remember that game engine. It's still under development and it's supposed to be a standalone once it gets there.
Can't find the link. Where'd you put this?
Oh, it's right here. It's at the top of the Wortha mention. Like, so under Star Fox Assault, if you scroll down, it's the very next one.
Oh, I see
it.
Now I see it.
Yeah, and then the video clip.
Okay, I want to see this. Hold on. There we go. Wortha mention. Wait. Oh, yeah. No, wait. What? Wait. Oh, here it is. No, that's not it. Where's Wortha? I don't see Wortha mention anywhere. Where does it say?
Oh, how do you not see? Okay, you see where I'm highlighted?
Yes, you're on line 27.
I'm actually on line 46.
Oh, then I was not in the right place. 40. Oh, there it is. All right, let me pull it up. Let's see. Are you kidding?
Doesn't that look good?
Okay. Jock Blaney returns as Wolf and Bill, Star Trek Event Horizon. Oh my gosh, there are more animals. Oh my gosh, look at this bullshit.
No way will this thing make it past 5 minutes after it's released, even as a Free Space 2 mod, because Nintendo, as soon as it hits, you'll have to grab it.
Oh my gosh, this is like...
It's very gritty. And it's the voice actor the guy who was in Teen Wolf. Not Teen Wolf, but the Wolf character.
Oh.
It's the original voice actor from the Star Fox.
That's cool.
Jock Blaney.
So wait, this is a full conversion then of this. Oh my gosh. I knew people are doing some weird stuff with this engine.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me want to check it out.
Dude. I want it.
I might have to check it out.
Yes.
All right. That's wild, dude. Oh my gosh. That makes me excited. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Nintendo's going to.
That's the Star Fox we need.
Yeah, Nintendo's just going to shit on this, though. There's no way this is
coming
out.
Immediately. Yeah. They're going to take a big old giant...
big dumper.
Poo dump on it.
A poo dump.
Yeah, so that Star Fox Event Horizon is a Free Space 2 mod if you're looking for it.
All right.
Modern
Space,
game.
Free Space 2, well, sort of modern. Came out in like...
Yeah, modern-ish.
2008? Seven, whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
The engine did, but yeah, people are still working on.
I think it's open source now, right? I think they made it.
I believe you are correct.
Real quick here, if you're looking to where you can play these classic games, the SNES Classic, of course, for 1 and 2, emulation will get you there, as well as Nintendo's online service has not 2 though, just 1, right?
I thought 2 is on there as well.
Can't remember Nintendo. Online Star Fox 2. Let's just see.
Star Fox.
It says they're adding it, but when? Oh, I guess they. Okay. Star Fox 2 is coming to Switch. It must be there by now.
I thought it was. I thought I saw it last time I signed up.
Must be there now, yeah. N64 games also on there if you buy the extended pass.
Yeah, screw you, Nintendo. I have this conversation every week.
Yeah, it kind of makes me mad.
With my stream, every time I talk about Nintendo on my stream, I always get mad because I'm like, stop it, Nintendo. You know I don't play your online services for more than 3 months at a time, and then I take a 6 to 9 month break before I come back. I'm not giving you a full year for it to sit there for 6 to 9 months, me not using it. Charge me by the month, even if it's more. You're not getting me to do it. I'm not doing it.
Well, here's their current list of games. Mario 64.
60 fart.
Mario Kart 64. That was Mario Far 60 fart. That game is got its moments, but has its problems. Ocarina of Time, nearly a perfect game. That's on here. Star Fox 64, of course, we just mentioned. Paper Mario, amazing game. Super Mario 64, yes. It's the original, the OG, that thing's so good. So Dr. Mario 64, which I never played, so I can't speak to it. Yoshi's Story is bad, in my opinion. That is a bad game. We may do some Yoshi in the future.
We need to do a Yoshi episode for show.
Yeah, he's a bastard. GoldenEye 007, which just hit not long ago. That's on there. Right. And Sin and Punishment, which I have never heard of.
Never played.
Yeah.
Heard of.
That game came out in 07. It's on here.
Right.
For the N64. Sin and Punishment. I don't know what that is.
Late?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. That is late. That's super late.
I don't remember it being that late.
I mean, hold on. 06 was the Wii.
Right.
So we're already 8 years past the GameCube.
Oh. Okay, so it was only in Japan. I played emulation. So it released in 2000 in Japan.
The
story took place in 2007.
Oh, well, here it says that's the release date.
Well, it might have got a U.S. release, did it? I don't think so.
I don't know what Nintendo's talking about. It's on their page, so I don't know. It's weird.
Interesting.
Anyway, N64, get your muddy eyes ready for a good time. All right. I would also like to reiterate that Everspace 1 and 2 feel like StarCraft, but with modern graphics, and I highly recommend StarCraft. Those games, especially 2, because 2 is playing like Free Space now, and it's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's almost 1.0. They're still in early access, but that's an excellent game. Running an Unreal Engine is freaking beautiful. They're doing a whole story. You fly all over the place. Nothing's on rails. It's amazing. You should play it. All right. Brian, we've done it. We did that. But now
we talked about Star Fox.
But now this.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game. We play old audio from an old game and try to stump each other as to what it is. And we give each other some hints, a few questions, that sort of stuff. And, you know, give each other
We was all talking big and bad last week. Like, we need some rule sets. Like, we're only going to get 3 questions and blah, blah, blah. Are we doing that yet?
I almost did today. I almost wrote down a bunch of rules. It? Yeah, and I haven't done it yet. So this is as close as you're going to get this week. Brian, I'm going to play mine first. This is 1994. It is the Genesis, published by Sunsoft. Developed by Iguana Entertainment. Those are your...
Oh, yeah, Iguana. I love Iguana.
Iguana's great. They made a ton of games back
there. Utah connection, right?
Yeah, they were based right here. Much of acclaim was here as well. But anyway, here you go. See if you can figure it out.
Sounds like karate.
Like karate. I mean, you're not wrong that there's some... let's say there's some ninja tendencies in here. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. It's like some ninja. It's like somebody's got some nunchucks.
Yep. And then when he finally starts fighting. Well, anyway, let's say he throws shurikens. Listen to that Genesis music, dude. Okay, this is a game I... Okay, I'll give you a couple other thoughts here. This
is a game I thought... Are there any anthropomorphic animals in it, like Star Fox?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Hell yeah. This is the era.
That's funny.
This is the era.
Yeah, oh, that's true. That is true. This is the era. I didn't think about that.
Ninja Choplifter, says KT Data. No, Kevin, that is not correct. All right. The other hand I'll give you is it's a side-scroller, like everything was back then.
Right.
This was attempting to be yet another challenger to the Sonic Mario throne, but didn't quite get the traction, even though I think it's a pretty good game. I think it holds up.
Right.
Any other thoughts here?
It's definitely got ninja vibes. So let me break down. Okay, so let's do our 20 questions thing real quick. Okay, so I won't ask 20 questions. Let's ask a few questions. Okay, so we've determined that it is anthropomorphic. So that was actually fun. It is animal-based.
Yes,
so
animal-based.
It's not mineral.
Right.
It is animal.
Yeah. Vegans do not apply. This is all animal-based. Right. Yep.
This is 90s Genesis Iguana.
Oh, shit. The chat room. Someone in the chat got it. Keep going. Oh. Keep going. I can't believe they got it.
But. It's got ninja stuff. Is it ninja bat?
Let me double check. Is it ninja? Wait, where's the thing? Is it ninja bat? Nope.
Oh.
Nope. Definitely not ninja bat.
Okay. Is he furry or is he more? Is he furry?
Okay, so here's your second. So this is good. Question number two. We're going to do three questions. Yeah. This is how we make
right,
rules.
Right.
Yes, he is furry.
Okay, so it's a furry. It's a furry the iguana game. And you kind of alluded, even though it wasn't fair, because you gave me the hint before we got the question. Is he kind of? He's kind of like a mascot type.
Yeah, he's trying to be.
Okay, so is it like a Bubsy kind of game?
That is your third question. I will answer. I mean, what is a Bubsy kind of game? Like, it's a side.
Is it Bubsy like an anthropomorphic?
I mean, you're
fighter.
Yes and no. Like, you don't. I'll say it airs closer to the animal it's portraying and less trying to be like people. So less anthropomorphic.
Okay.
But it's still like, you know how Sonic is sort of. He doesn't look like a hedgehog, but he's closer to hedgehog than man. You know what I mean?
He's more hedgehog than man.
Yeah, that's like this.
Because he rolls. Because we can't roll.
No, we can't roll. Nobody can roll.
That's your third and final
question. Do you have a
thing? All right. Okay. Is it a... I don't know. He's got to be... Is he a marsupial?
No. Well, I don't know. Hold on.
All right.
I don't know if they're marsupials.
Does he carry a baby around in his pouch?
No, I guess that would make him a marsupial if he does. But I'm trying to think if this animal does that, any of that, when they're pregnant or not. But I don't think they do. They keep a lot of nuts in their mouth.
They keep nuts in their mouth?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the chipmunks. chipmunks go. Yeah. It's Darkwing Chipmunk. I don't know.
Let me check. Is it Darkwing Chipmunk? No, it is Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel.
Oh, somebody was asking me to play this not too long ago.
It's a good game.
I didn't know anything about it.
It's very good. It's a fun game, bunch of mechanics. You collect and throw these little shurikens. And you kill big crabs with it, like you do. It's a fast Genesis game. Came out in 1994, like I mentioned. And it's technically a spinoff sequel to Arrow the Acrobat. You remember that series?
Well, that's what I was actually thinking earlier. I was thinking it sounded kind of like, it kind of reminded me of some of the music from Arrow the Acrobat.
Yeah,
but I was thinking similar. That would have been too early for this. And he wasn't really a ninja as much as he was an acrobat.
Yeah, and according to this, the main star is Zero, the squirrel. He is Arrow's rival from the previous games. A remake for the Game Boy Advance was planned in 03, but got canceled.
Right.
I like it. I think it plays real good still. So
okay.
Recommended. Good Brian, one. I'm going to play yours now. What's your initial hints here? What do we got?
Okay, so this was a 1995, and it was for the Windows and DOS.
The Windows and DOS.
Yeah, the Windows and the DOS.
All right, let's see what we got.
Hey, explosives armed. Houston gives us the go-ahead. Say when, boss.
Do it.
Now, let's see. Is it the big green triangle or the little red circle?
Shut up and push, Ken. My baby's getting impatient.
Here
we go. Shut up and push, Ken.
We have detonation.
Sounds weirdly familiar here.
Nothing big coming our way.
What's the pig telling us, Cora?
Attila's still in one piece. There's a lot of seismic bounce, some fracturing. We're stable again. A radioactivity in Quadrant 1 is well within the safe range.
What does Houston say, Ken?
Everything's go for a surface walk at your option.
Then let's go, landing team. Let's see what Attila looks like after plastic surgery.
I don't know what this is.
Right?
Okay, three questions.
Give me the three questions.
Said DOS Windows.
Yeah.
Was this a point-and-click adventure style game?
Yes, so it's like the point-and-click adventure style, correct.
Okay. Was it...
Shit.
It was not shit. It was actually well-received.
Okay. I'm trying to think if it had all this, like, astronaut talk in it. Okay, second question. Does it happen in space?
Yes.
Okay, that seemed obvious, but I had to get it out. All right, I have a third question. That wouldn't really give me anything.
I'll give you this, too. Not only happens in space, it happens on an asteroid. How about that? That's
like Armageddon style on an asteroid?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it Armageddon? Just kidding.
Yes, it's Armageddon, the PC game.
Okay, final question. Does it? And then I'll give you what I think is the answer if I can shake my brain loose. Did this have full motion video or nay?
Ooh, I don't remember any full motion video. I'm trying to remember. Did it? It was a CD-ROM game, so there could have been some scenes. Now, I'm forgetting that part.
Probably not.
How about it was originally conceived as an episode of Amazing Stories?
All right, I think this is a game called... I think it's just called Dig?
It's close enough. It's The Dig.
The Dig!
Yeah.
Ah! Yes. Did I really get it? I remember this. I couldn't run this game. My PC sucked when it came out. I couldn't properly... get this thing going. Is that game good? I remember everyone at the time going,
yes. Dig. People love this game. And you're right. It's point-click adventure, LucasArts, CD-ROM, PC. Macintosh eventually got it and runs on that SCUM game engine. And you also may not know that the writers were Orson Scott Card, Brian Moriarty, and Steven Spielberg.
Oh, my gosh. Orson Scott Card, another Utah connection. Also kind of a dickhead now. But okay, so there's the... There's a screen grab, chat. That now I fully recognize this, and I couldn't play it. My PC needed an upgrade. I had like a 386 DX. I don't know what the hell it was. 95, 94. It was shit, though. I couldn't run this. In fact, I think I had a CD-ROM, but it wouldn't quite pull this off.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a time of how fast did your CD spin?
I wonder how that is now. Like, is that a fun game still? I bet it is.
I for the audio stuff I captured, I was like, I want to play this just so I can sit back and listen to all the great audio. Because there's a good bit of point and wait and click. It's a pretty big adventure. It's a lot of fun. The setting's fun. I want to go back and play it. It's in my list.
I like the screenshot where he's going... He's crawling and he's got a lady behind him and he goes, Brink! See?
Brink!
Do you see that?
Brink!
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I love that. Yeah. This is part of those things where good old games has been harassing me all week. And our next week's game is actually because good old games have been harassing me about that particular game as well. So good old games finally got me in on a couple of things.
No wonder
the dig.
No wonder I thought it was called Just Dig. I'm now looking at cover art, and the word dig is 400 billion sizes font sizes larger than the word the that's barely above the eye.
Yes, yes.
I think that's why I thought that was just dig. This looks great, though. I love.
I always thought it was dig too. I didn't realize it was the dig until later myself.
I'm kind of in the mood for a game like this right now, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
it's kind of want to play it. Yeah. All right. Well done. Very good.
And you can have it right now from Good Old Games for only $5.99.
Is that all?
Yes.
Well, that's
or
good.
Or Steam, if you really don't mind spending $5.99.
Are you out of your mind?
You also could get, they've been trying to get, for some reason, Loom has been looming big lately. I've seen a lot of sales in that. You can buy the Lucas bundle on Steam for $14.99, which comes with Fate of Atlantis, Indiana Jones.
That's a good game.
And Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, Loom, and The Dig.
Loom is also good. Oh, I miss those games. They were so good. I wish they would make new versions of all those, please.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Hey, looky here. It's time for texts, emails, voicemails, whatever. In fact, one of these, it's a text that I made voicemail, all right? So I'm just letting you know, this isn't some real person. This is an AI reading this, but it sounded good as a call, so that's what I did. This is about whether or not we have talked much about this system. I'll let him explain.
Hey, Scott and Brian, did either of you have exposure to Philips CDI in the 90s? My dad was obsessed with it for some reason, but I remember some really bizarre games like Escape from Cyber City and Zelda the Wand of Gamelon. Could be a fun discussion.
Okay. Did you ever have a
Philips? I like how most of it sounded really convincing.
Yeah.
But then parts of it was like, no.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
That person is an alien.
It's a little bit weird.
I'm not buying it.
So this thing, it feels like this was like not a direct 3DO competitor, but definitely in that vein of like home entertainment console for the whole family, that whole thing. And I, at the time, thought, ooh, Philips, they make cool stuff. They'd be all right.
Yeah, I always liked the way the machine looked. I remember seeing clips from the Zelda game that was on there, and I think that the answer was no.
No, we don't want your weird game unit.
No.
They had this is how you knew you had a multimedia CD-based system in the 90s. It played Dragon's Lair.
Oh, yeah.
With the remote, I believe. That's how you could do it. The controller I thought was okay. They had two controllers, basically. They had a remote-like one, like wand thing, and they had a pad. The picture I'm showing to the chat right now is the pad. It looks like a Super Nintendo kind of, no analog or anything. But then the other bit was this. Let me see if I can pull this up. Yeah, there it is. This thing is this weird wand that was basically just a remote. But you could control a bunch of stuff with the games, and this is how you would play Dragon's Lair and, you know, time-based games like that. But it was, for a hot minute there, people were into it. They were like, CDI, baby, that's where it's at.
I like Philips, let's play something, Philips.
Yeah, and then nothing. Kind of petered out, nobody cared.
Yeah.
We all moved on with our lives, which is unfortunate. It was Philips' big, you know, as far as big electronics firms go, Philips always seemed to be on the sidelines. In here, and this was their big play. They were like, hey, guess what?
Oh, Sony's doing what? My man.
Yeah. The one thing I did like about their controller is they put a little screw hole on the D-pad. I'll pull it up and zoom in here. Here we go. Little screw hole there. That way, you had D-pad functionality, up, down, left, right, and some diagonal.
Right.
But you could screw in an actual joystick, so you could have, full-on joystick use. Yeah. I always thought that was kind of cool. Probably not great cool. Practicality, but whatever.
That's not a bad idea. And I always thought about that, too. Like, we always said, people complained about that Steam controller with the little touchpad. And I'm like, what if they just put, like, a little way to just make that in, like, a little thumbstick or something, that on top of there. But, yeah, I guess not.
So. Right. Let's see. Philips CDI. I'm just going to see how much these are on eBay. They go for pretty good money. $500, $600. They had a portable version of it. Those are going for about $1,000 because they're rare. They got a light gun for the thing. The cheapest one's about $250, so these go for good money.
Yeah, good money.
Okay. Well, thanks, CD. Oh, or not CD, Philips is what I meant. They have a boombox version that also had that built in. No way. Ultra rare Philips FW380i. It's a CDI mini hi-fi system with DVC and new laser. I don't know what it means, new laser. Oh, probably they just put a new laser.
They put a new laser in there. That stuff.
So this is like is like that plus all the boombox crap built into it.
That's here's cool. The touchpad one that you had talked about. Oh, I see a box right here. I'll put this in the Discord server real quick, Discord chat.
Yeah.
They got that little controller that you was just talking about.
Oh yeah, look at that box. Yeah. Isn't that dumb? Look at the stick. See?
I kind of love hate it.
I kind of hate it and love it too. It's real dumb. $215 for that unboxed or open box, but inbox. Wow.
Open box. Yeah. Still, it has the box. How about that?
I have some things that I probably should sell, dude.
Yeah, especially if it's that.
But then if I had this, I'd want to keep it for our show, you know?
I know.
What were they thinking? Okay, zoom in real quick on that controller and look at the buttons where you're normally A, B, and Y, and X.
Yeah, what does that say?
What is this?
So what kind of symbols? What kind of symbols is that?
Who is that? When was that going to take off and stick? There's like one dot, two dots, one dot again, and then a dot slash two dots. What are you doing?
Was it Braille readable?
This thing on the side is just grip. Isn't Braille. And then over here, these aren't even rays. They're just little prints.
Yeah, that's weird.
Heinous. Heinous and dumb. Good job, Phillips. You make a hell of a light bulb, but I don't know about your video games. All right. Thank you for that. We also got a couple of quick texts here. We got one from, let's see, or just one of these. This is not from a name. It's just from somebody who says, "Hey, Retroites, for May the 4th and Revenge of the 5th, you should do Retro Star Wars, X-Wing, TIE Fighter, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, Rebel Assault, Dark Forces." I'd be down.
Oh, yeah. It's time to do it anyway. I don't know if I would cheapen it. With the May the 4th be with you. But we still should do the Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
How do you feel about the May the 4th and the Revenge of the 5th?
I hate the way it sounds. I don't mind the names, except May the 4th sounds like you're saying you're slurring is what it sounds like.
Right.
Like right now, I have a gigantic.
You are 100% correct.
I have a huge canker on my tongue because I had dental work yesterday. So did you, actually.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
I bit my tongue like 5 times and didn't know it. And now I've got like a 400-pound little. Canker over there, and it's making it hard to say some words without hurting.
I think my dentist thought I needed to be really numb for my thing. Because
You like, how fast do you numb? Is it fast or slow?
Oh, it's usually pretty fast. And in this case, like I said, she stayed in there for like a good.
You have a lady dentist? You got a lady dentist?
Yeah, lady dentist. And she was just a pumping it in. And
I
now
have
they say,
never
they
had.
Say, they'd say the lady dentist or more aware of your pain. I'm just kidding. No, she's great. And boy, she filled me up.
I would love a lady dentist. I know we've never had one. Always a man. Always big freaking hairy knuckles
big,
in there.
Big, that's the thing. Yeah. I used to have a man dentist, and it always seemed like the only dentist I knew were the ones with the giant hands.
Oh my Lord. Yeah, that's true. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I thought I might have been. But here's the deal. Revenge of the 5th, I think we do. Okay, here's what I was thinking. May the 4th, we do the most retro stuff. We do X-Wing and TIE Fighter. All right?
Right.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, you can throw in there because it's all part of the same thing.
Yeah.
Then on the Revenge of the 5th, we bump up and do Rebel Assault and Dark Forces, which are newer games.
Nice.
What do you think of that?
I'm down.
Okay. Let's do it. We're doing it, whoever you are that sent this in, that didn't leave a name. We're doing it. So well done. You've convinced us. All right. That's going to do it for emails and texts. Again, you want to leave us those texts, send us 801-471-0462, or you can leave us a voicemail as well. We're happy to play those on the show. Or if you'd prefer, email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. Stupid tongue. All right. Let's move on to what we're doing next week. We are doing Myst. Riven.
Myst.
Myst again, like 3, 4, and 5. But Myst, we're covering Myst. Yeah, that's right, PC players. 1993. Rand and Robin Miller and their video game company Cyan Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Myst.
Myst. Hey, man, that changed the world.
Yeah, it did.
If you weren't around during the year that Myst came out, then you didn't know what was going on. Because I'm telling you, that it was on everybody's lips.
Yeah.
Have you seen Myst?
Mist.
Yeah, Mist, dude. Mist was, it is, how do you explain it? It's a seismic thing. It's a big deal in not just games, but in like tech and games meeting together and changed the way we thought of that kind of media from then forward. I have nothing but fond feelings and some weird feelings about Myst. Myst still freaks me out. Even seeing screenshots, I kind of go, oh, yeah, that place was weird. Kind of gives me the, I feel like I was in a dream, you know?
Yeah, that was the idea, right?
That was the idea. Yeah, and it had some FMV that's hilarious and stupid, and that team went on, or that company went on to make some other cool stuff, including a game that's only a few years ago called,
I forgot.
That's a fully 3D game. There's also a remake of Myst. There's also a remake of Myst in like full-blown 3D engine where you just run around all of it, but it all looks like Myst.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of the whole legacy, so...
And Good Old Games is really trying to sell it this week because there's a mobile game out. So they're really pushing. So if you like to play along at home, be sure to get some Myst in your belly.
Yep. And Riven was also good. Oh, man.
Yep.
So listen to this in the chat. I love it. We got, damn, I love me some Myst. And then Skits 3819 says, I hated Myst. And then Ruthane says,
polarizing.
Then he says, the flew up Riven was great.
Yes.
Yeah. So, they are doing a VR Riven? No way. That's cool. Well, that makes perfect sense. What took them so long? Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. Well, anyway, that's all next week right here on Play Retro. We are going to go deep and hard on Myst. Okay?
You made it uncomfortable, but okay, yes, let's do it.
I did. Also, I want to recommend that you, it's the very end of the month, and literally the last day of the month, so it's a perfect time to hop in on patreon.com/playretro because you'll get a brand new month, brand new benefits, all that stuff. And on top of that, Brian Dunaway is going to give away to some lucky patrons Star Fox 3D prints if you live in the U.S. If you don't live in the U.S., you'll get something cool digital when you pick your name. But but for now, the 3D stuff will ship somewhere in the States, and he will send Star Fox 3D prints directly to you, to your door, if we choose your names.
To your door with our 3D printed resin stuff. It'll probably be an AR wing and maybe a Star Fox a statue.
That's right. And even if you joined today, before we get to it, you'll be eligible. Mm-hmm. Okay? You don't have to be there for a week or something for us to pick you. You could be the winner of that. But even if you don't win, there's lots of reasons to join up. Go read all about them at patreon.com/playretro. Also, welcome brand new patrons, Les Orchard and Don Rice.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
We know Les. Yeah, Les, good people.
Yeah, Les is great. Don Thanks, Rice, Les. I've seen that name before as well. Anyway, fantastic human beings have joined an already fantastic group of people supporting us at patreon.com/playretro. You'll never get commercials. You'll get pre-show content every week and monthly benefits that are only available to our patrons. Go check it out. That's Play Retro. Shit, that's patreon.com/playretro. Jeez. Why do I do that? I only do it with this one. Is that a weird thing that I do? It's a weird thing.
It is weird. It's weird. We should get you checked out.
Doctor, what's up?
Man, I can't believe we even get to talk about the wicked-ass Star Fox cartoon anime thing they did with Nintendo. We didn't get to talk about all the great anime manga crap they did. Star Fox is interesting.
There was a lot, and I hope there's more. So here's what I want you to do. Go play something retro and come back next week. Bye, everybody.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
It's about time you showed up, Fox.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.